Greetings, Kidd Lake Baptist Church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Keith. I'm the pastor of counseling and care here at KBC. I wish, probably like most of you do, that we were here in this room together right now, that we were singing and praying and worshiping over the word together, that we could share in a warm smile and a firm handshake. And I'm thankful for the many ways that we can stay connected. I'm thankful for phone calls and for texting and for emailing and for social media. One of the ways that we stay connected on a regular basis here at KBC is by the use of our connection card inside of the bulletins. You don't have a bulletin and a connection card today. And no one's going to come down the aisle with a basket for you to put that connection card in anyway. Two of the most valuable things that happen on that connection card each and every week is one, people share questions about something they hear in the sermon, questions about a song they sing, questions about something in their life. And they also share, secondly, prayer requests. Well, we want you to know that your staff and your pastors still want to interact with you about those questions, about what you're hearing and what's going on in your life, and we still are praying for you and want to hear your prayer requests. So let me encourage you, go to our website, kennewickbaptistchurch.org. All of our email addresses are there, and you can email one or multiple of us your questions and your prayer requests. And also, you can direct message us on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. Finally, let me share just briefly a passage of scripture that's been really encouraging and helpful for me these last couple of weeks. That's Psalm 46. David writes Psalm 46 in the beginning. He says that God is our very present help in trouble. And then he begins to talk about some of Israel's fears. In fact, there are two main fears. One, they fear nature. They fear natural disasters. They fear that. They also fear the nations around them, what they might do, if they might attack, how they're going to interact with those nations. And if you take both of those fears and take it down one more level, there's a common denominator there. Israel, like you, like me, feared the loss of control. They feared not being able to have their way. God's encouragement to them and to us comes at the end of the psalm where he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth." God says, the things that you can't control, I am so in control over those things that I will be glorified, I'll be exalted, I'll be praised in those, to you, uncontrollable forces and things. And so our role then, he says, is to be still, to know that he's got to be still. Some translations translate that by saying, stop fighting or stop striving. What are we fighting? What are we striving? What are we clawing? What are we grasping for? Isn't it control? Isn't it so we could have our idea of comfort, our idea of safety, our idea of security? And God says, no, you don't have to do that. Stop. Be still. So rather than striving and fighting, what we're supposed to do is to know that he is God. The Hebrew word there for know is a relational. It's an intimate knowing. It's not just know things about God and then go live the way you're supposed to, but relate to God, interact with him. And that's why we're doing this video and the videos and the weeks to come, not because we think we're so important that you need to sing with Wes or hear Dustin preach or hear announcements from me. We want to help you interact with the Lord. And we pray that this video and the videos to come would do just that. So let me encourage you as you watch this, either by yourself or with your family or whoever you might be with or not be with this morning, to interact with the Lord, to know him, to sing to him, to worship him in spirit and in truth, to hear the good news of who he is, and then respond to him and lament, respond to him with thanksgiving, so respond to him with request, and know that God hears and he cares. Worship him for who he is for you in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you that we get to do this here. Thank you that we get to sing and to preach and to pray together, even as we are scattered. Help our hope in you to rise. Let our joy in you be steady and increasing. God, glorify yourself. Thank you. Thank you that you are in control. We know that for us, control really is an illusion. We control nothing. And we get to know, God, that you'll be glorified in everything, even in the scariest things of life. You are glorifying yourself, and that means good. Good for your blood-bought people. We worship you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Hello, church. Wes here, and I know it's a little different for us to be worshiping together in this way because we're not really together. But in some small ways, we are, and the Spirit of Christ dwells in each of us, and we can continue to be glad in the Lord through song together. I just want to say two brief things before we sing together. The first is, singing in your living room or wherever you are is going to feel a lot different. And hopefully during this time, it will create longings for each of us to be together again in this room where I'm standing now. It's better by far. But I also just want to encourage you not to feel awkward. I know maybe some of husbands and wives aren't used to singing together or families aren't used to singing together, but I want to encourage you to do so and push through the awkwardness and just enjoy singing together. You're welcome to turn the volume up. I apologize ahead of time because you'll just have to hear my voice extra loud, and I know that's painful at times. But I want to encourage you, sing joyfully, sing together, and let's rejoice in good truth together. And the second thing I want to say is that the songs we have for this week are largely about trusting in the goodness and the greatness of our God, that he is faithful, that he uses suffering for our good. And so I want to begin by reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, that remind us of the purposes God has in trials. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Friends, the Lord has good purposes for trials. He uses them to refine us, and he uses them to increase his praise as his saints continue to rejoice in him even when things are difficult. So let's sing and rejoice in the Lord together.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume, my goal to refine the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that this is true of you. You will not forsake your beloved ones. You will not leave us nor forsake us. We can trust you, even though things are so different right now. And yet, Lord, we have many things we can be thankful for, many things to praise you for, and we can have confidence that you will work all this out for our good and for your glory. And we pray to that end that you would give us hearts full of faith, that you are using this for your glory and for our good, and that that would motivate us to go out into the world in whatever means possible, as small as they are, and proclaim your glory to a world that lacks this hope and lacks this joy. Father, we confess that it's easy for us to be afraid. We confess the sin of fearfulness at times when we shouldn't be fearful. And we pray that you'd grant us forgiveness and that you would help us to trust you in this time. In our weakness, we ask for your help. Remind us of what is true. Remind us that you are the God who established this world, who holds it all together. You are the one who has numbered the hairs on our heads. You are the one who has declared the number of our days before even one of them came to be. We have every reason to trust you, and we desire to do so even more now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My soul, be still and do not fear. The winds of change may rage tomorrow. God is at your side. No longer dread the fires of unexpected sorrow. God, you are my God, and I will trust in a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone. Still, my soul, be still, do not be moved by lesser lights and unto his ways with shield of faith against temptation's flaming arrows. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit in you. Still, my soul, be still, do not forsake the truth you learned in the beginning. Wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars of when day is dimming. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you.
mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, the Lord of hosts, His name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. A mighty fortress, a rock unfailing, the King of glory forever. Amen. For endless ages, enthroned in praises, the King of glory. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever and ever. A mighty fortress, a rock unfailing, the King of glory forever. Amen.
Praise God. He is our rock. He is our shelter. He's our fortress. And these are good truths for our hearts at all times. Welcome, KBC. I'm Dustin. It is really good to be with you. It is good to be the church. It's good to gather, even if our gatherings might look and feel just a bit different over the weeks and months ahead. Our plan as of now is to continue to meet in this format online through video, between now and at least Mother's Day. That's May 10th of this year. And as you know, as well as I do, these are changes we're making in accordance with requirements and restrictions asked of us by local officials as well as those on state and national levels as well. And church, I just want to say that we are glad to comply with those for a couple of reasons. One, we're thankful for the governing officials and the systems that God has put in place over us. Scripture says that those officials, those systems, those governments are there because he put them there. They are there because he chose them and he ordained them to be present. And they are meant as a means of grace and a gift to those that they lead. I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful that there are leaders and experts, there are systems and resources in place to deal with horribly complex situations like the one that we now face. And so we ought to pray for those leaders. We ought to ask the Lord to use them as a source of help and blessing to those that they lead. And we are happy to honor their requests and their requirements because we believe that's what the Lord would have us to do. In honoring them, we honor our King. We also want to be faithful to follow the guidance that's been given to us and to refrain from meeting together for the foreseeable future, simply out of love for neighbor. Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And church, there is still so much that remains unknown and uncertain about this sickness, about this virus. It seems every day, often every hour, there is more information that is discovered and released. But what seems evident is that this virus is highly contagious. It is easily spread even by those who do not know that they are carriers, and that there are certain portions of our community, certain groups that are highly at risk. We have these groups in our families. You have them in your homes, your places of work, your neighborhoods. We have these groups here in this church among our brothers and sisters in Christ at Kennewick Baptist. And so it seems wise and it seems good to pursue different ways of gathering for now and moving forward. And at the same time, I know you feel it, you've heard it already in this video, we can and we should hunger and we should long for that time, that day in the future. I don't know when it is, you don't either, the Lord does. That day when we will not be seeing each other through a screen, but face to face, shoulder to shoulder, and we'll join our voices together in praise of our Lord. We'll lift our hands together in worship and adoration of him. We will fix our eyes on common texts. We'll pray together. I look forward to that day. I trust that you do as well, and it will be a good day when it arrives. But until then, we're still a family. Until then, we are still a church. And until then, we are still called and we have been equipped to be the church to one another within this place that we call home and for the glory of our Savior. My hope is that in this season, both in our broader community of the Tri-Cities, but also specifically in the KBC community, that this would be a time of blessing and fruitfulness, that the Lord would do a good work among us and through us, and that maybe even it would be an unexpected work, and that he'd get the credit. It may be so for his glory. Today, in light of all the unique circumstances we find ourselves in light of all that we're just trying to figure out how to navigate day by day, I want to look to God's word for encouragement and for help, for hope and for peace. All of those seem to be in really short supply in this atmosphere, and yet the Lord has those in abundance for his people. So if you've got your Bibles, I would encourage you to get them, open them with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look specifically at verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter writes this 20 centuries ago to our brothers and sisters in Christ in that day and time. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So, Father, we are your people, and this is your word, and it is a good gift to us, and we desire to behold you in it today. Lord, help us to see how you would have us to navigate hard and difficult times with a clear and fixed hope in Christ. Pray that you'd fill us with encouragement and with joy, even in fearful times. And I pray that in all of this, our hearts would be formed into the image of Christ, that we would be who we are called to be, equipped to be through your Spirit, and that you would get the glory, that your name would be exalted, and Jesus would be lifted high. May it be so. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So just a bit of background as we begin. The setting behind 1 Peter is one of hardship. It is the early church living and functioning in a day by day, in a hard place, operating in a difficult setting where fear and anxiety, where worry and concern were often a temptation for their hearts. And yet, Peter writes to encourage them in the face of fear. He writes to the church to strengthen them as they encounter uncertainty. And his prescription for the church is so very helpful. I think it is relevant for us in our day and time, in this unique situation that we find ourselves in. Look at the passage with me and just notice the invitation that is here. It is not an invitation to avoid criticism. It's not a set of instructions for how you win when you find yourself unexpectedly in a place of conflict. It has nothing to do with bypassing life's difficulties. Rather, Peter encourages the church, when you face criticism, when you encounter conflict, when hardship comes, and it will, when your heart is tempted in all of those situations to respond with fear, here is how you fight for faith in the face of fear. In verses 13 through 17, the key issue is not conflict, is not persecution, is not opposition of the church. It is instead, how does the body of Christ cling to our Savior Christ when the atmosphere around us and quite frankly, the hearts within us are drifting toward fear? Fear. Worry. Anxiety. These are at issue in this text. And these are all around us in this time. Church, the last couple of months, maybe even more specifically the last couple of weeks, have brought a lot of anxiety, a lot of panic around us. The stock market is tanking, the grocery stores are having trouble staying stocked. Borders and schools and businesses have been closed. In some places, you can't even leave your house to go and visit loved ones. These are different times, to be sure, times when fear feels big and hope seems small. And friends, that's why I am so encouraged by this text. I am eager to share it with you today, because Peter says the church has something unique to say when fear is in the air. Those who trust in Christ, we are well positioned because of Christ to look and respond very differently in an atmosphere of anxiousness and worry. Look again with me to the text. Look at verses 13 and 14. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, You'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Harm and suffering, even pain. Peter refers to these. We don't like them. We instinctively move away from those realities. They push us to respond with avoidance and fear. But what does Peter say? He says, don't be afraid of them. Don't be troubled by them. Again, the issue of fear and anxiety and how followers of Christ respond to those, that is central to this text. And what Peter says here, I find surprising. Consider what he says. He says, don't be afraid of frightening things. Don't be scared by those things that are legitimately scary. I'll be honest, on the surface, at first glance, that sounds ridiculous, does it not? It seems nonsensical. Is he in denial? Does Peter live life with his head stuck in the sand? Just don't be afraid. Simply stop being troubled. Is that how we are to respond when life is really hard? Do we just refuse to acknowledge the reality we find ourselves in? Look back to the text where we find that verse 14 doesn't end with a period, but a comma. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Brothers and sisters, we are not being invited to blindly ignore the situations we find ourselves in. As if just closing our eyes and wishing it away would make it better. No, we are called not to close our eyes, but to open our eyes and to behold Christ. We are called to walk by faith even when life is hard, even when reality is fearful, even when things don't seem to be getting better anytime soon. Even then, we have Christ and He has us, and that does not change and it will not change even in troubled times. This is what Peter is getting at here at the beginning of verse 15. Our hearts will fear something. KBC, your heart will fear something in this situation. Your heart will be captured by some reality, some situation, some priority. And within you, that priority is going to be set apart as central. It will become the focus around which everything else begins to orbit. And this text says, when our hearts are being pulled in so many different directions, when your heart is tempted to give priority and centrality to circumstances and events that might cause you to drift toward fear and to be troubled, the answer is not to ignore what you currently experience. The answer is not to ignore what's in the news. The answer is not to try and wish it away. The answer is instead, remember that Christ is your foundation and that has not changed. He is the priority. He must remain central. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. In the original Greek, Peter puts it like this: but the Lord God, sanctify in your hearts. Set him apart, Peter says. Consider him to be unique and altogether other. He's different and he's better than anything or anyone else that you might set your attention upon, anything or anyone else that might compete and vie for the affections of your heart. In the face of fear and anxiety, under the weight of the world's stresses, what is our answer, church? It is not worry. It is worship. Christ is Lord. There's none like him. Hallowed, holy be his name. So let's just take a few moments and recall and consider just how worthy our Savior is of being honored and set apart, how worthy he is of being worshipped as being absolutely glorious. We could spend hours counting the ways this is true, just a few to consider. In Philippians, Jesus alone has a name that is above every other name. In Colossians, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. In 1 Corinthians, he is the power and the wisdom of God granted to us as his people. In John's gospel account, Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Word who was with God in the beginning and was in fact God among us. Which means, church, if you turn with me to the end of God's book, to Revelation chapter 21, if we look at verses 1 through 5, this text is talking about our Savior, Jesus, Almighty, exalted, set apart, worthy of all of our worship, both now and forever. John says this about our King. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." In the face of fearful things in this world, church, it is not our job to try and make all things new. Jesus will do that in his time. And we're not even called to wipe away our own tears as if pain and death and mourning didn't exist, as if the difficulties of this life were somehow fake. Jesus will one day do away with those things as well. That's his job description. He will be faithful. Church, we are called, you are called, in the face of fear, in the time of trouble, to set Christ apart in your hearts as holy. Not because your situations have changed, but because your Savior has not. He died for our sins. He raised and he rescued our souls. He has purchased us for himself. He's given us his Spirit to be not just among us, not beside us, but within us. Christ has promised to take us home one day. How worthy he is of being set apart in our hearts, as holy, as beautiful, as unique. How worthy he is of our worship. And when that is our response in the time of trouble, when what comes out of us is worship and praise and not worry and not panic, when that is true, friends, that the followers of Christ become like bonfires on a dark night. You'll be noticed. You'll stand out. You'll be different. And Peter says, when that happens, when it's praise and not panic, he says, get ready, church, because people will take note. Questions will be asked. And opportunities for us to speak of our Savior, they will come. Look again at verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. If you live with hope in Christ because he is glorious and he is big in your heart, because he's set apart from all else, then be prepared to give a reason for the hope you have, because conversations will come. Now, church, here's how I think that works. First, this means our hope in Christ must be evident. Nobody asks about a hope they cannot see. No one has questions about a private, invisible confidence. But also, this means your hope must be not just evident, but it has to be different as well. Because nobody asks about a hope they're already familiar with. Nobody asks about a hope that already makes sense to them. Nobody looks at a life that finds its hope in finances or friendships or possessions. A life that hopes in reputation or health or comfort. Nobody observes that and thinks to themselves, well, it's really obvious where that person finds their hope. It's really obvious what they've built their life upon. It's clear to me. In fact, I've built my life on those same things, but I'll ask them anyway. That doesn't happen. Hope that's rooted in the same stuff that everybody else hopes in. No one notices that. Why would they? It would be like a room of 100 people where everybody in that room is wearing a white sweater. And if somebody new walks in and they're also wearing a white sweater, nobody cares. It's old news, been there, we've done that. But church, put on a red sweater and walk into the same room. The contrast just pops, right? It's unmistakable because it's distinct. It is different. It's not what you would expect. Brothers and sisters, when you put on Christ and you walk through a broken, hurting, scared world, when you put on Christ and you begin to operate in a world filled with discouragement and disappointment, a world, even a community that right now is struggling with worry and apprehension and concerns, when you and I walk into that room wearing a hope that cannot be shaken because it's rooted in our Savior, who has already conquered death, who's faithfully purchased an inheritance for us that will not perish, a Savior who will come again to have his people for himself, a Savior who promises to never leave or forget us. When that's the color of your confidence, people will notice. And Peter says, in a fear-filled place, fear the Lord. Trust in his promises more than you trust in or fear other people or situations. And then be ready, he says, because if you honor Christ like that, you will stand out and they will ask and you will have beautiful gospel opportunities to make much of your Savior. That's why I'm really encouraged during this time. Even though it's uncertain, yes. Even though it's difficult, without question. Even though it feels every day increasingly dim, hazardous. In the face of all that, KBC, we have something to say. And it's something this world desperately needs to hear. Because we have access to unshakable hope. And it's not hope that's connected to a stock index. It's not hope tied to some approved vaccine. And it's not rooted in how much we understand or how much we think we control. We have a better hope. We have Christ, and he has us. And so we have something to say in the midst of all this. You and your family have something to say in the place where Christ has put you. And as the Lord sustains us, we will say it with our lives. And as the Lord provides opportunity, we'll say it with our lips. And at all times, we have to say it like this. Look at what it says. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. The goal of living differently in the face of fear, the aim of hoping in Christ, of clinging to our Savior, even when everything feels really uncertain. The aim is not that we would look good. The aim is not that we would be admired for our ability to persevere, for our stiff upper lip. That's not what we're after. No, the aim in all this is that in our hoping in Christ, even in situations where hope is scarce, that He would be seen by others as great, as glorious, as exalted among us. That He would be seen as worthy of our confidence. That is you, church, as you, as individuals and families, as you walk through unsettled times with a settled confidence in Jesus. But the only answer you can give is this: we have peace because Christ is our peace. Why are you calm? My Savior reigns. Why aren't you panicking? Why aren't you acting out of selfishness? I know my King is good. I know He gives bread to His children. I know He cares for me. And that hasn't stopped. I don't have to worry. And so we, from a place of gentleness, from a position of humility, not making much of ourselves, but of Christ, we, from a posture of respect, honoring the Lord, but also honoring those that we encounter because they've been made in His image, we get to engage those around us in these days winsomely, lovingly, humbly, and gently. Not belittling them because they struggle for hope. Not elevating ourselves in any way. But as an act of worship, we point to Christ as the cause, as the source, as the fulfillment of our hope. Paul reminds us in Romans 15, just as Peter does in today's text, where our hope originates. It's Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. He is the God of hope, thus He can provide us with hope that abounds. So, church, what do we do in troubled times? We do the same thing the church has always done. We do the same thing that we have called and encouraged one another to do for the last 10 Sundays or 10 months or 10 years. We look to Christ. We treasure Christ. We set Him apart. We worship Him as holy, as sufficient. We acknowledge Him as our joy. How's your hope been over the last couple of weeks? Or maybe a better question would be this: where has your hope been? As temporary and limited creatures, when we face what is unknown, when we feel the effects of lack of control, our human response is often to express fear. And then from our fear, in our sin, we try to reclaim control through our own actions. We attempt to reduce what's unknown by research or readiness or effort. You see it all around us in this time of crisis. Buy more things, read more articles, just try and claw back any loss of control that we think we feel. But as the people of Jesus, we've been given a different path. There's a better way. We joyfully acknowledge we were never in control in the first place. And so we just continue looking to our King, who is sovereignly right now controlling all things. And so we can hope in Him. We humbly confess that more knowledge and increased understanding, our confidence is not found in those. And so we rest in our Savior, who does know all things and who knows us. And by His grace and through His blood has made a way for us to know Him. What is the church to do in times like these? Peter says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. It's not worry, it's worship. How's that been going in your heart, in your home, your marriage, your neighborhood, your larger family, your place of work, your classmates? Are you walking in hope, hope in Christ? And are you ready to give a reason for the hope you have? Father, help us to be a thoroughly hope-filled people. Not because things are easy, not because they get better, but because you are good. Because you are our source of hope, and you can cause us to abound in hope. Lord, help us to know what it looks like to set Christ apart as holy and to hope in Him deeply. And then would you please give us opportunities to speak of our glorious Savior. It's in His name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Let's sing and let's worship together.
See you.
none before him, all of time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. For my God is the Ancient of Days.
I hope this video has served you well, whether it's as an individual or with your family. I hope that you've been able to worship Christ. Song and through scripture, through studying his word and through prayer. My hope, my prayer is that you have been in some way encouraged. If you're part of our weekly contact list, then I also hope that you got access to the discussion questions we've made available in connection to this message, and that those are a source of help to you as well. Use those, walk through those for your own heart or with your family, go through those with your small groups. Let's be faithful to press into relationships during this time rather than withdraw, even if that pressing in happens for a season from a distance. If you're new with us today through this video and we've not met you before face to face, we're thrilled that you've joined us. We'd love to get to know you better. You can reach out to us in the ways that were mentioned earlier, and we'd be honored to share more with you about who we are as a church, who we treasure in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We would love to share with you more about Jesus. He is our King. He is our joy. He is our hope. We want that for you as well. Let us know if you've got questions. These are uncertain times, and yet we have a really, really good Savior. So let's live with hope in him over the days, weeks, and maybe months ahead. May he be honored in our lives, and may we be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. KBC, it's been good to be with you. Miss you guys. I love you. We'll see you next week.